amen and amen. Let's pray. Father, just want to thank you because you are God and you are faithful, the faithful one. You are the Most High God. You are the God that hears us when we call. You are the God that will never leave us nor forsake us. You're the all-powerful one. You are the all-knowing one, all-sufficient one. Father, what a privilege it is to call you Father. And so, Lord, we call upon you this day, O God, because this is the day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. It's a day that we've not seen before. It is a new day. And new days have new things. And so, Father, even as we come to hear your word right now, O God, we come to that part of the service, Father, where we get to share in the goodness of your word. Father, we stand on the promises, O God, that in it, O God, there is life and light that shines in every dark area. That your word, O God, is able to pierce our bones, our marrows, our soul, and our spirit, and is able to discern the intents of our thoughts and our hearts. Lord, your word, O God, is used to build us up and to make us ready for every good work. And so, Lord, as we hear your word, Father, fulfill it in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I can just continue praying because I think that's the kind of spirit that's in the place today. There's a desire for prayer. Amen. I want to talk to you a little bit about choosing confidence over fear. This was not the sermon I was planning to preach. I was planning to continue the series on the Word of God. But I was hijacked this morning and given a new word. Amen. And we're going to go through it. And I'm excited about that because it means that God has something to say to us. There is something that he wants to say to you and me. So are you ready this morning? Are you ready? All right, let's go. All right. Choosing confidence over fear. You know, this week, I keep hearing this phrase throughout the current COVID-19 pandemic. We are living in uncertain times, especially from the Christian circles. I keep hearing this. We are living in uncertain times. You know, people are not sure what to do. And fear is something that seems to be lingering with the hopes of finding a place in the hearts of people. I see people fighting each other for toilet tissue. No word of a lie, toilet tissue. People were emptying grocery shelves, doing some fair buying. Amen? You know, I was in Costco this week, and man, oh man, the stuff I saw in Costco. And I must admit, as I was going through some of the aisles, I really had to restrain myself from getting caught up in the pandemonium. There was panic all over. People were pushing carts, but nevertheless, I must say, the majority of people were very kind and hospitable, and they would say, hey, after you, hey, you go first. And so there were most of the people, but there were a few that were just letting off steam. And as I was buying, I looked at some motor oil, and I'm like, man, I need to change the oil in my car. But in case I have to drive somewhere out and in the boonies nowhere because of COVID-19, I probably should get some oil just in case. And so, here your pastor's confessing, that oil made it into my house. And I looked at that oil and said, why did I buy this oil? But it actually wasn't a good price. So I will take it to my mechanic and he's going to use it for my car. Amen? But people are panicking. People are allowing fear to dictate their actions. Others are trying to capitalize to make money by buying excess tissues, sanitizers, and masks, and then selling them on Kijiji, selling them on Amazon, selling them wherever they can sell them. So they can, and actually they're making a substantial profit. People are buying it. That's the crazy thing. Fear. You know, it's a word that God encourages us against. In fact, fear not is repeated in the Bible 365 times. Fear not. One for every day of the year. Fear not. Fear not. Fear not. Do not be afraid. And we can do that because God is in control. Amen. When we look at Psalms 24, 1 to 5, let's turn our Bibles. If you have a phone, you can just click on your Bible app and get into your Bible. I had a slide prepared. I was going to prepare a beautiful slide, but I don't have a slide this morning. So you just have to follow by reading the word. All right, so here I go. And I'm reading from the ESV version. It's a Psalm of David. He says, the Lord, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. Who shall ascend the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, and who does not lift up his soul to what is false, and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. God wants me to remind us of a few things this morning. Amen. And I'm going to look at three verses, and from those three verses, I should say three books, we're going to pull some things that God wants us to hold on to build confidence in the midst of fear. God has not lost ownership of the world he's created. Amen? It still belongs to him. God has given humanity conditional, according to this word, access to him. And the conditions are, if you have clean hands and a pure heart, you can come into the holy hills. You can have access to God. David, in Psalms 51, said after killing another man and taking his wife, he said in Psalms 51, for you will not delight in sacrifices, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. David understands that God is not interested in a gift that comes from an unrepented heart. A pure heart is what God desires, broken and contrite. And to have access to God, one must deal with the sin in one's heart. If you want full access, you have to deal with the sin, and God will deal with it. David understood that. So at the beginning of this very Psalms, what David said to God was this. He says, have mercy on me, O God. And he was talking to Elohim. It means mighty one, very great one, and it has with it the connotation that God is judge. So he says, have mercy on me, mighty God, judge, according to your steadfast love and according to the abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. He went on to say, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Now, he uses three words here in Hebrew to define sin. The first one is sin as hatha or chatta. Now, I've bring this before to you, and you may remember it, but I'm going to remind you this morning. It means when someone misses the mark. It means to make a mistake, to move away from the standard, God's standard. And it has within it an offering to be cleansed. You know, that's what I love about Hebrew. You know, when we say, for example, God, you know, who are we referring to? We just have this, sometimes this one word, God, Almighty God, God, our Father. In Hebrew, when they use the word God, they many times put it together with a characteristic of God, a character of God. So they would say, like, for example, David is saying, God who judges, have mercy on me, on my sin. So he's talking to the judge about his sins, right? So here we see sin, meaning chatter, miss the mark. We see sin here in these two verses as transgressions, which means pesha or pisa, which means rebellion. It's a breach of relationship between two parties. When we reject God's authority by rebelling against it, and it just suggests two ways of restoring that relationship. Sorry, ending the rebellion, either by punishment or renewal of relationship. And then he has sin as iniquity, which is the word awan, which means perversion. And this has to do with just flowing in our sinful nature. It does not bring God's character into the picture. And it's a perversion that leads to death. Now, why am I talking to you about sin? Well, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:9, or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God, the rule of God? What God has, the unrighteous will not have. And so we need to deal with this sin. And so what did David do? David brought his sins before Elohim and begins to list off the judge's character. So he brought his sins before him, right? He says his transgressions, his iniquity, his sin, his hata. He makes sure every area is covered. And he brought it before God. And he began to list out the judge's character. He says, for you, O judge, you are steadfast. He calls God, you are a judge that is abundant in mercy. You are the one who can wash away or do away with the judgment that I deserve. You are the one that is able to cleanse me and give me a new record. David understands that if the judge says that you are clean, then guess what? He is clean. Amen? And that should be some wisdom for some of us who may be facing a judge. What if you go before a judge and say, hey man, you are so steadfast. You are so in love. You are so abundant in mercy. You are one that, man, if you say this guy should be released, I'll be released. But David began to list the characteristics of God, because he believed and he knew that God is able to wash it all away. Now, God brought me back to a memory as I was preparing this. And it was a memory of a Wednesday evening. A group of us were in the foyer and we were praying. And what I saw is, like, I don't have a lot of visions, but what I saw was two hands being out like this. And then I saw a water. Water was just flowing, a stream. It was in like a rectangle, and it just ran straight across the hands, washing the hands, making it clean and pure. And then God gave me this same scripture, Psalms 24. It says, he who has a clean hands and a pure heart. Okay? If you want the hill experience, if you want the presence of God, sin needs to be dealt with. Jesus, as he was being nailed to the cross by humanity that he came to help, he prayed in Luke 23:34. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive them because they lack understanding. Forgive them. John, who walked with Jesus and was present to hear the words, was inspired by the Holy Spirit. And in John 1:9, he says, if we, he included himself. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from every form of unrighteousness. That word unrighteousness means sinful nature. That thing that leads to death. If we confess before God, he will forgive and he will wash. Amen. Now, when we ask God to cleanse us, David said in Psalms 24, verse 5, he says, he will receive blessings from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Amen. You know, in this time of uncertainty, God is in control. It's the perfect opportunity for us to build our confidence in him by allowing him to check our hearts and see if there is any wicked way in us. To see if there's any wicked way in us, confess and receive his blessing. Amen? Because God wants to bless his children. He's made the way through Jesus so that we can confess our sins. I know that sounds like, but that's a privilege. It sounds just like words, but it's a privilege. And sometimes God needs to remind us of that privilege. That sin can steal our confidence in God. Sin can make us easily bow down to fear. It can. But God has made a way through Jesus Christ that if we confess our sins, think about that. If we say it with our mouths, words that cause God his son, if we can confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us of all our A1s. That sin that leads to death. When I got that vision, it reminded me that that grace is always available. Amen? It's always available. God has made a stream that flows for those that would bend the knee and confess their sins. He says, you will receive a blessing. It is a blessing. It's a blessing. God will deal. God will help that. He will remove that guilt and give you confidence to stand in him, to be in him, to walk in him. So in times of uncertainty, what do we need to do? Check our hearts. Go before God. Confess our sins and allow him to build us up. Amen. Restore the confidence that we have in him. Second thing, let's go to Matthew 14:22, because uncertainty and fear can also sometimes come in times when we're following God's direction. Let's go to Matthew 14:22 and 33. This is the story of Jesus. He was preaching to a crowd, a congregation, a large, and he ended up feeding 5,000 of them. And so Jesus, immediately, he told his disciples after, hey, get in a boat. And as they went on the boat, he dismissed the crowds. He went to spend some time alone with God in prayer. But the boat, and I'm going to pick it up from verse 24. It says, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So here I want us to bring our attention to two things. The two crying out that happened in this scripture. The first came as a result of the waves crashing against the boat, followed by an appearance of a man that the disciples interpret, "It's a ghost." So they became terrified. Has anybody ever seen a ghost? You know, I'm picturing this. 12 grown men in a boat, right? And they are trying to make sure the boat don't sink. So they're doing all that they can do. And they're looking at this situation, and they're probably thinking, "You know what? How did we get here? Who told us to jump into this boat? Why are we in the middle of a storm? What were they doing? Jesus told them to get in the boat. And Jesus tell them, hey, go out." And they could probably are thinking, "Man, why did we listen to Jesus?" And so they were in the middle of a storm. And so in the middle of the storm, and while they're trying to just get the water out the boat and keep the boat afloat, there in the midst of them is a being that is walking on water. Something that they've never seen before. And so they cried out, "A ghost, a ghost." So 12 grown men were terrified, running around in a boat, shouting, "It's a ghost, it's a ghost, it's a ghost." They were terrified. Absolutely terrified. Jesus responded to them, take heart, and do not be afraid. Jesus said, take heart. And do not be afraid. Peter wants to walk on water. So he asks Jesus, "Can I join you?" When his eyes and focus was on Jesus, Peter did something that no other human being but Jesus did. He began to walk on water in the midst of a storm. He was able to walk, he was able to do what Jesus was doing in the midst of a storm. However, when he took his eyes off of Jesus and began to look at the wind, he began to sink, which resulted in the second cry. He was fearful. Yet the difference between the first cry and the first cry was a cry of fear. And it was not targeted at anyone. Have you know you're terrified and you just cry? Or you're in pain and you just cry? Or you're suffering, you're going through stuff and you just cry? Right? It's just crying for crying's sake, to let out the tears so that there would be no other tears. You know, they just cried because they were fearful and terrified. The second cry out was focused. And it was focused on Jesus. He said, "Lord, help me." Lord, in the midst of him sinking, "Lord, help me." And Jesus reached out, took hold of him, and pulled him up. Praise God. Took hold of him and pulled him up. Jesus said, "Why is your faith so little? Why did you doubt?" Now, what did you think the answer to that question was? "Peter, Why is your faith so little? And why did you doubt?
Well, I mean, Peter didn't answer.
But the wind probably blew a little bit strong in his face, assuming. Probably start feeling splashes of the water. You see, the storm was real. It was a real storm. And once he saw the storm, fear crept in. And once fear crept in, Peter began to take his eyes off of Jesus and he began to sink. But he cried out. And when he cried out, what did he experience? He experienced the holding of the Savior. The strength of his Savior to pull him out from the depths of the water, up, back, and carry him into the boat. That's what he experienced when he cried out. So let's take a note of God's ability to deal with the storms of life. This story started with an instruction. Hey, get in the boat. We see that the disciples were in a dangerous storm, one that could take their life. Jesus appeared. They began to cry out in fear. But however, at the end of the story, we see Jesus stepping into the boat. We see the wind ceased. And the miracles that Jesus did to rescue his disciples, they fell at his feet and worshiped him. And this is what they said: truly, you are the Son of God. You know, sometimes the most precious things in life is at the other side of suffering, the suffering we're currently in. God teaches us to be brave in uncertainty and fear when we keep our eyes on him. This lesson grew their confidence in God. And so sometimes not every uncertainty and fear is just that, uncertainty and fear. God, once our eyes are on him, he would use it to grow our confidence in him, because he's good and he's faithful. And when we cry out, he will help us. Amen? All you need to do is make sure that Jesus is in your boat. Amen? When you're going through hard times, ensure that Jesus is in your boat. Invite him in. You know, there are areas, God, when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, yes, he's in our hearts, he's with us. But sometimes storms come. This virus came from nowhere. Well, we know where it came from, China. But it came. Nobody was expecting it. Nobody was predicting it. It is here. What we have to ensure is to make sure that we call on God. God is able to use this to grow our confidence in him. He is. He is able to do that. So refuse fear, cry out, and say, help me, Lord. And he will. God loves to rescue us. Amen. He loved to rescue his children. Another time of uncertainty, let's look at Acts 2, was when the disciples had to wait on a promise Jesus had given them. They did not know what was going to happen. So Jesus told them before he ascended into heaven, listen, stay in Jerusalem for a couple of days. I'm going to send you a helper, the Holy Spirit. Right? He's going to come. You just wait. Right? So they were waiting. And they were praying. And they were waiting. And they were praying. And they were doing a little bit more waiting. And they've never really received the Holy Spirit. Like, they don't know what to expect. What is this going to look like? When the Holy Spirit comes, what's it going to look like? So they were waiting and waiting and waiting. And when we look at Acts 2, verses 4, It says, Acts 2, verse 2. It says, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. After that happened, verse 14 to 42, the Bible says, when they received the Holy Spirit, Peter began to preach. And in verse 37, the response that people had to his teaching, it says, now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Over 3,000 people give their lives to Jesus. The business we are in is kingdom business. It's soul winning. Call it business, but that's what it is. You know? And God is no respecter of persons. I'm just here to tell you, listen. We call to win souls in the midst of this. Amen? We call to win souls in the midst of this. When the new believers received the Holy Spirit, the Bible says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day those who were being saved. As I said before, today we're in the midst of a crisis. People are losing their lives, literally. Fear has gripped many communities. Governments have been shut down. There are regulations that have been sent out by ruling authorities. How should the church respond? It would be foolish for us to not take precautions and to take it seriously. We will practice some of these precautions to keep ourselves safe and to keep others safe. But we will not succumb to fear. Amen? We will not succumb to fear. I'm just going to give my wife my phone. God has not called us and he's not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of boldness, a spirit of courage. The difference for the disciples, before Peter testified of Jesus, he received the Holy Spirit. Before the congregation, the new believers, began to fellowship and break bread together and encourage each other, they received the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have received the Holy Spirit. And if we've received him, let us walk in him. Amen. Let us talk in him. Let us pray in him. Amen. Allow him to take control. Amen. Allow him to take control. He is real. He's willing. So to cap up, allow the God who is in control, one, to search our hearts and to do away with our sins, to build confidence. Cry out to Jesus. If you right now you're facing fear, if there's an area of fear in your life, cry out to Jesus and say, help me. Help me, Lord. He's willing to do so. Right? And in doing that, he's going to build up your confidence. There's nothing that builds confidence when you see God is able to save. And then be led by the Holy Spirit. Share Jesus with others. You know, we will encourage those who are faithful not to fear. Amen. We will love in our families. We will be available for those that are in need. We will find ways to communicate and encourage each other. We will grow in the word. We will fellowship when necessary. We'll break bread when given the opportunity, and we will pray together. We are his church. Amen. We are his church. It's a church of love. It's a church of faith. It's a church of hope. And it's a church of power. And I want us to do something for the next 5 or so minutes. I want us to go before God. And I want us to spend some time in prayer. And if there's anything in your heart that is just any sin you need to deal with, I want to give you an opportunity to go before God. Talk to him about it. Amen. The Bible says if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just to do what? To do what? Amen. I want to give you the opportunity. If there is fear, allow Jesus to step into the boat. Say, Jesus, this area here, there's lots of fear. Pray for yourself, but we're also going to pray for our nation. We're going to pray for the world. And then when we finish, we're going to say, Holy Spirit, have your way. Lead and direct us. I'm going to ask the worship team to, oh, Dave, way to go. You were hit there one moment and now you're, wow. Praise God. Let's rise to our feet if you can this morning. Jesus, I do believe this is what God wanted for us to hear this morning. And I do believe that as we practice it, coming before God, humbling ourselves in prayer, that our sins will be forgiven, our confidence will be strengthened. I do believe this morning that if you allow Jesus to enter into your boat, I don't care what it looked like. Think about the disciples. What that boat looked like. Filled with water. Probably sinking. They're just trying to just stay afloat. Maybe you are here this morning and you're just trying to stay afloat. You're just trying to stay afloat. This morning, you can cry out to God. When he stepped into that boat, the wind, the storm died. It literally died. And what was left for them to do was just worship God. Was just worship God. I believe this morning, when we say, Holy Spirit, come, that he will come and he will invade and he will lead and direct us. Let's pray. Jesus. Actually, let's worship and then we'll pray.